The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I've just been at a monastic retreat for New Year's down at IRC Insight Retreat Center. And I've been thinking about a ceremony that we did for New Year's Eve, where people were asked to write on a little piece of paper various regrets or things that we had experienced or done or said during the past year that we looked back on and had some feelings of regret about. And then as part of the ceremony, we had the opportunity to tear up these pieces of paper and put them into the earth, and where they would be composted and transformed into nourishing soil. And in the spring, we intend to plant some herbs on this soil and use that in the food that we'll cook at IRC. So the transformation of regret into something that can build or nourish. And when I was thinking about various actions that I regretted, that I wanted to write down, I found that there was a common theme to them, and that they tended to be moments or even more extended intervals of what could be called immaturity, times when my mind was weak in some way and it got overwhelmed by fear or anger, greed, impatience, overexcitement, or simply inattention. And then the result was behavior that was selfish or aggressive or negligent in some way. It was basically childish behavior. So one way to think about the Buddhist path is that it offers a way for us to become truly mature. It's not like a light switch, usually, but more a process of transformation, something like composting, in which we slowly transform immaturity into maturity, step by step. And what does it mean to be mature? I mean, we all grow up physically, kind of, you know, whether we want to or not, that just happens. And in some way, we take our place in society as adults. That too can be a fairly natural process. But are we really mature at that point? With some reflection, I think it's clear that spiritual maturity is something different than just growing up or just becoming an adult and doing the things that adults are expected to do in society. And further, more importantly, it's something that doesn't arise by chance or by natural aging process. It's something that must be cultivated in some way, intended, practiced. So there's effort involved in becoming mature in some way. Now, sometimes people don't like the word mature necessarily, and so I'll be careful with the language. That word may have been used against you in a derogatory way when you were younger. Or it may conjure images of stodginess or being out of touch or out of date in some way, past one's prime, a euphemism for being past one's prime. But I would like to point more towards the some of the more positive aspects of maturity. If we consider the qualities of people that we deeply admire, we can begin to get a sense of the different facets that come together to create a character of true maturity. It's interesting to consider what distinguishes these kinds of people and how they may have come to have that presence in the world. Sometimes at this time of year, people have resolutions about what they would like to accomplish in the coming year. I wonder how many people expressed the wish that they would become more mature in 2013. This year, I would like to grow up a little bit more. So there's a book by Norman Fisher, who's a Zen priest. It's called Taking Our Places, The Buddhist Path to Truly Growing Up. And it's actually about just this topic. It's about maturity, what it is, and how it comes about in people. And he found, after many years of practice, that he was faced with the question of what this really was, because he was asked to help some boys who were at the threshold of adulthood to understand what maturity is. And then he discovered for himself, he was much older, had his own kids, etc., that maybe he didn't really know, and maybe in some ways he wasn't, you know, he had some work to do there. And so it was an exploration among all of them. It was, and early on in the book, he does come up with a short list of qualities of truly mature people that they arrived at by considering, you know, such people that they admire. But what's interesting is that he quickly dismisses this list of qualities, because as soon as we start thinking in terms of static qualities, we've immediately lost the essence of something. We've robbed it of its vitality. If we have a concept, as soon as we have a concept of maturity, then it becomes stale in some way. So Fisher is looking for a dynamic living maturity that evolves in people who have devoted themselves to the necessary work. So instead, the book focuses on practices that foster maturity. If we do these things, we move in that direction. They're lifelong practices that go continually deeper. We don't really arrive at a state of maturity. And these are interesting practices. I'm just going to read the list. He comes up with six. We don't have time to go through all of them in detail, but they are listening. Number one, listening. Two is persistence or patience. Third is connection. The fourth, meditation. The fifth, vowing. And the sixth, conduct. Or sila, what we would call ethical conduct. So listening might be something like letting go of preconceptions in order to fully take in what someone is saying or what we're experiencing. Persistence is something like stick-to-itiveness or patience, endurance, willingness to delay gratification. Connection, the practice of connection, brings in qualities of love, humility, generosity, clarity. Meditation, of course, is about bringing kind attention to experience and cultivating collectedness of mind in some way. Vowing, I thought, was an interesting one, especially here at the beginning of the year. Now, of course, Norman Fisher is from a Zen background where vowing can be a very important part of that practice, the taking of impossible vows as a way of deepening practice. But essentially, the quality there that it evokes maybe is something like a combination of truthfulness, doing what we say we're going to do, resolve, and then letting go of the things that have to be let go of in order to focus on what we've decided to do. These are deeply mature qualities. And finally, conduct, which comes at the end of the list, interestingly. Ethical integrity. almost a result as much as something that we need to do at the beginning. So as with composting, these six practices bring about a transformation in us. They move our center of attention away from the small self and the all-important story of me to something larger, more inclusive, and less personal. So the regrets of 2012 that were composted on New Year's Eve came from some kind of immaturity. And when I feel back into those experiences, my mind feels small and weak, easily pushed around by external circumstances. And in contrast, we might say that maturity has a vastness to it, either a breadth, so that it's widely encompassing of what's happening, or a depth, so that it goes down forever and can't be shaken. It sees clearly what's happening and has a choice about how to respond. So there's freedom in maturity, and there's maturity in freedom. So these simple practices that go on and on are things that we could decide to undertake more intentionally this year, beginning slowly to transform our small-minded habits into behaviors that are more open-hearted, wholehearted, easeful, and peaceful. We have the choice to intend to cultivate practices that increase and strengthen our spiritual maturity. So, here's to growing up. Thank you.